The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning, a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topic
and asks what you think.
So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
9 o'clock hour. Welcome, welcome. 866-660-5759. Our last hour together for the day. Mike Gallagher is next. Dennis Prager after that. Sean Hannity after that. Larry Elder after that. We're just laying out broadcast day after broadcast day, and so very, very glad that you are making it a part of your day. Well, this is one of those days around here. It's one of those days that I absolutely love that involve nuts and bolts news stories that have tributaries leading off into broad universal issues. And here's how this kind of goes. First of all, let me begin this hour as we did the last two, and that is with every thought and every prayer to the three people shot by this monster at Home Depot. Everybody survived for now. There's one Home Depot employee whose identity we still don't know, but we do know the Dallas police officers, Crystal Almeida and Rogerio Santander, and they are healing up after surgery. Both critical. I think she is in better shape than he is, I believe, but we send up every prayer, every good wish to them, to the Dallas police force and that family, and to their actual families and friends. Every prayer lifted in that direction as we tackle various issues of the day. And one of them involves another life and death issue across the pond in the UK, where a 2-year-old boy named Alfie Evans has a really serious condition that he is going to die probably sooner rather than later, but can be kept alive in the meantime. And how long should that happen? His parents want to prolong his life as best they can. They believe that all life has meaning. And the UK believes they need to get him off really expensive care because that's what government-run healthcare does. And you remember when people mocked – I don't think Sarah Palin – did she give birth? I guess metaphorically give birth to the term death panels. And it was said, no, there's no such thing as a death – this is a death panel. This is what it looks like. This is what – it doesn't convene in front of a big banner that says, death panel convenes tonight, 8 p.m. But that is the de facto effect of when care is rationed because it is a commodity just like any other government expenditure. So in the Alfie Evans case, the UK is not interested in keeping him alive anymore. Okay. There are Roman hospitals who are over in Italy. But the UK is standing in the way of letting this couple take their boy over there. And that's mysterious, and court battles on top of court battles. And that got us in the last hour into the notion of what does God want in this case? And it's easy from a pro-life perspective to say life at all costs, life at all costs, keep everybody alive, do whatever you got to do, alive, 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 to the extent that the meaning of that is a blip on a screen. We also, I don't speak unanimously, but I think we scripturally, those of us using that as a guide, know that it is not for us to determine, quote unquote, quality of life. And to determine that some people, well, they don't really have sufficient quality of life, so we're just going to let them go. That's not the way to go. I think that's a moral outrage. By the same token, and this is what got us headed down a particularly interesting path, are there times when we use medical technology and put the hammer down so strong on that medical technology that we're keeping somebody here whom God wants to come home? And it's kind of funny because I don't think I said thwarting God's will. Maybe I did. Are we just like standing in the way? And somebody called up and said that it's wrong to think that we are able to stand in the way of God's will. True. But our free will enables us to, whatever verb you want to use, there are things that we can do to subvert God's will, to not obey God's will. That's a better way to put it. We can't stand in his way. We are not more powerful than God. But there are things that we can do that are contrary to his will, at which point things just go in a very different path for us. And it's because of decisions that we made. So what exactly is the right thing to do in a case like Alfie Evans? What exactly is the right thing to do in some of these end-of-life situations? And that, as it will happen around here, did your parents ever tell you never discuss religion and politics? You know why they did that? And I understand. It's because everybody gets all twisted off. It's because you're just going to hack people off. It's going to be very awkward at Thanksgiving, blah, blah, blah. And I get that. There is a time and a place for everything. But you know what? To use that as a blanket advice, I think I mentioned this yesterday. You know what happens when everybody's walking around saying never discuss religion and politics? It means nobody discusses religion and politics. And we lose the ability to know how to differ. How to differ with love, disagree without being disagreeable, how to work our way through our differences. If we just kind of shut it down and live in our own bubble, you know, is that healthy? I don't think that's worked out very well. I think that's probably why we handle many, many issues like a bunch of 9-year-olds today, because we don't know how to argue effectively, civilly, lovingly. We don't know how to do that. So to get to the point where, you know, go back to your calls and some other audio of other stories and stuff we'll cover in our remaining 45 minutes together. A gentleman at the end of the hour had come after our discussion of how it's sometimes not for us to understand that, as Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Do not be wise in your own eyes. That is a scriptural call to not walk around and say, you know what, I'm going to figure all this out. I'm going to understand everything. I'm going to understand everything God does. And then the gentleman, it was a wonderful call, and I appreciate him, said, you know, but then you walk around and some kids are born with cancer and some terrible things happen. And, you know, God made me a sinner and now punishes me for that. Why did that happen? And I just said, stop. Just stop it. You're wasting your time. We are not to understand these things. Some things are bigger than our brains are ever going to have the capacity to grasp. And he said, well, it was just because, so I'm being told that we're just too stupid. No, we're not stupid. The human mind is one of the most incredible creations God made. Gave it to us on purpose so that we could exercise free will. We're not stupid. We're just human. We are not God. And the sooner we understand that, the better off we're going to be. And as we go to your calls, I don't make it a necessity here on this show. America doesn't make it a necessity here in our wonderful free country for you to believe that. You can believe anything you want. But I would offer the following loving advice. If you don't hold a scriptural view, don't mock it. Unless you can do so in like an educated fashion. If you really do know and understand what the Bible teaches and find it repellent, you can bring that to me all day. That's a decision you get to make, and we can talk about that. And believe you me, we welcome everybody. But if you're walking around misstating what Scripture says, not grasping what it says, we're going to take a moment and we're going to fix that. Well, God just says we're stupid. No, he doesn't. So there we are. That's it. That's all the time we have. Mike Gallagher's next. No. 866-660-5759. We are in Justin. Hey, Jeff, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you? Good Wednesday to you.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
Thanks for sharing. It's great talk about God. And first, that last guy that talked, you know, I really pray that God can reveal some things to him, because that's the kind of guy that can really make some big strides in his kingdom. Because that guy, even though he's frustrated, he's seeking. He's trying to figure
Amen.
It out.
Amen. And do you know why I love him? You know why I love him? Because he's me. Right. He's me
exactly
20 years ago, shoot, probably 10 years ago, thinking, you know, do I believe that God created everything? Absolutely. That Jesus, his son, yep. That he died so our sins could be forgiven, yeah. But I still walked around with that arrogance that said, you know, I ought to be able to figure all this out. And as soon as you surrender that, you've learned a lot. And what else, Jeff? Yeah. What do you got?
Yeah. So my take on God's will, and you may push back on it, but I do believe that we can thwart God's will in our lives. And I'm going to quote John 7:17. It says, anyone who wants to do the will of God will know whether my teaching from God is a God or is merely my teachings from God are merely his own. So that want to, that implies an option on my part. Now, I do believe that God knows the options of every decision that every human being can make on this planet. He knows the results of everything that we do. He's given us free will. Why? Because he wants us to willingly choose him. He doesn't. Right. He wants us to choose him because he's awesome.
And it's not forced. It's not compulsory. Correct. It's not required. It means, that's why saluting the American flag means more than saluting the Chinese flag, because we don't have to. We choose to. I could have used you 15 minutes ago, and because here's the thing. So to the prior gentleman, and he had an interesting point, because if God is omnipotent and all powerful, his will cannot be thwarted. Sure it can. And it doesn't mean that we are out arm wrestling God.
Correct.
That God makes
Absolutely.
His will clear, makes his preferences Absolutely. Clear, and we can either be obedient or not. So
that's awesome.
Awesome.
And I
Jeff,
have one last thing.
Sure,
one
go
last
ahead.
Thing and I'll get up.
No problem.
And in regard to Alfie, that's heartbreaking.
Yep.
No, I'm not going to even be narcissistic enough to think I
yep.
know that answer.
Yes, sir.
However, I do know this. From what I believe as a follower of Christ, there's two things. One, if they keep him here alive, you know, he's going to have two parents that are loving on him, that are pouring on him, that are doing everything that they can.
Yeah.
That to make his life the best that it can be. And if the other option happens, if they decide to pull the plug, you know, from what I believe, he's going to land smack dab in a loving arm.
Absolutely.
Of a Lord. That's awesome.
Jeff, as we spend time talking about what ought to happen to this little boy here on this
right.
planet, this life, whether it's 2 years or 102 years,
correct.
Is momentary and a tiny, tiny
Absolutely.
Speck of sand compared to what awaits us. I love you, man. Thank you so much. Yep. So much. That is what I'm talking about. Woo! 866-660-5759. We're in Dallas. Jason. Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Mark. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Well, thanks for letting me on. I kind of want to tag on to what that last guy said. I mean, it's free moral agency is really what God gave us. And it is that choice to choose him, to come to him as a child freely, and not to turn our back on him.
Yeah.
You know, he could have just flooded us all and never let us come back. You know, and
yep.
that's the part of... When people read that, they think, oh, he's this mean God. Well, he wiped us out for a reason. It's because we were doing wrong. We were blaspheming. We were going against what he intended for us. And that wasn't a mean thing. That was a necessary thing.
Yep. And it established the new covenant afterward that established the path forward. Very valuable, Jason. And in fact, and it's funny, you guys know how much I love George Carlin, right? Where's that coming from? Carlin is the stand-up comedy, that and Cosby. Boy, there's another entire story. When we all used to listen to comedy albums, my gosh, I remember every one that Carlin and Cosby did, and Bob Newhart and all of that. And Carlin was a complete non-believer. But didn't beat you to death with it. He didn't do a whole lot of stuff about religion necessarily. He was just unbelievably funny, an incredible practitioner of language, and I loved Carlin's material. Even when misinterpreting scripture, it was with a. I'm going to give you a little. I'm going to try to do it justice. It was like that what we are taught. Is that God has created you and you are with sin. And if you do it, I'm going to give you this list of things that you must do. And if you don't, and then first of all, there's going to be slavery, there's going to be famine, and there's going to be disease, and there's going to be pestilence. And if you don't obey what I say, I'm going to cast you into the lake of fire where you will have damnation and torment forever. But he loves you. that's how it looks to some folks, and that's why having a real understanding of what, you know, a loving God means and what he teaches and free will and the joy of pointing your free will in the right direction and the consequence of pointing it in the wrong direction are two concepts that are worth adopting. Okay, 923-866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 660 AM, the answer.
You say your style of life's a drag, and that you must go other places, but just don't you feel too bad.
1973 from Stevie Wonder's Inner Visions.
Smiling faces, but don't you worry about a thing. Don't you worry about a thing, mama.
Don't you worry about a thing.
Cause I'll be standing on the side.
Let's do the scales. You ready? One more time. That is such a great record. Don't you worry about a thing. It's by the 1973, right? That's already like the 13th Stevie Wonder album. Just crazy. And you know what else is on there? Living for the City, Golden Lady, Higher Ground. Stevie cranking it out there. 45 years ago. Holy cow. All righty. 866-660-5759. Let's be on time for Gordon. Lots of people loaded up with a lot of things. I really want to give everybody some time because it's some pretty complex stuff we're involved in here. And it's a joy to be doing this heavy lifting with you. I so appreciate it. It's an honor to be in your company. 866-660-5759. Follow me on the Twitter there, at Mark Davis, M-A-R-K Davis. And we'll hop right back onto the phone as soon as we see what's going on with Gordon Griffin in the newsroom.
Tripping on the past, finding out reality, where clarity comes in trips.
Recognize her?
No, we never had the time for everything we had.
It is the greatness of Cyndi Lauper.
Felt like we had nothing, that's what makes
and I love Girls Just Want to Have Fun. And
it was a long, long
True Colors. It's all good. Great hits. That is Hat Full of Stars from the album of that name that virtually no one bought except me. 1993. 866-660-5759. I just feel like keeping track of this at the top and bottom of every hour, lifting up additional prayers for Crystal Almeida, who is responding apparently pretty well after surgery, and Rogerio Santander, who may not make it. That is, that's the story of the two Dallas police officers. And so let us offer up every prayer, every good thought, every good wish for them, for their families and friends, for the Dallas police family. And let us just cherish these people who put on a uniform and a bulletproof vest in many cases. And you know, I go to work and I get to walk into this room and hang out with friends and talk about great stuff with y'all, matters large and small, today pretty large. And then go home to a blessed home and a wonderful family. And those are my days. And many of them are busy and many of them are demanding, but I tend not to get shot at. My job description doesn't involve running toward people who might kill me. That is the job definition. That is the description of the people who are the men and women of law enforcement. And you know we're a big back the blue environment around here, not just when they take bullets, but just on ordinary days, the ordinary days where when they go to work, they put on the uniform, and I'll draw this broadly, the uniform of a police department or a fire department. And, of course, the uniform of our country in its various branches of service. We lift all y'all up in our prayers every day. All righty, 866-660-5759. Lifting up prayers and examining God's will and what we're supposed to do in situations, in news stories like the story of little Alfie Evans. And he's almost 2 years old, and the British healthcare system is no longer interested in keeping him alive. the Italian healthcare system is, and yet the UK is impeding, at least until the parents are in court, and we're already at middle of the afternoon there in the UK. And so there may be further developments. It's on Twitter. It's a hashtag Alfie Evans or Save Baby Alfie. There's all kinds of activism going on of that type. And we'll just see what happens with this little boy. And I when I say I don't know what the right thing is, that's true. But I in terms of if I were his father, I would probably have the same idea that his mother and father have. And that is to try to continue to get care, I would think, not on the what appears to be the thoroughly unrealistic hope that he's going to be running around anytime soon. But it's, you know, you got to know how hard it is. If somebody does reach this point where they say, you know what, maybe God is trying to call this kid home, and that we're kind of, you know, delaying that, and maybe that's not the smartest thing to do. I know what the right thing is for us is to defer to the parents. It is also the right thing for us to understand what the law might be in a given country, whether we like it or don't like it. So the parents have the right to fight for baby Alfie. The British government has the right to say, we're done here. But then I believe they have the responsibility to get the heck out of the way and let baby Alfie's parents, Tom and Kate, take him to Italy, where there is apparently a number of hospitals in Rome who have a somewhat more Catholic view of end of life. And let them see what they can maybe do for this child. 866-660-5759. We are in South Lake. Rich, hey, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you? Oh, I'm sorry. Hi, Rich. Go ahead.
Hey, listen, I want to talk. You, I appreciate your eclectic approach to your show. And I was listening to your clip of Jimmy Buffett a little while ago. And my thought was, so that's what he sounds like when you're sober.
Exactly. Exactly right. If you're, you know, like seven margaritas in, you know, listening to, you know, Cheeseburger in Paradise, that's one thing. But if you go get One Particular Harbor or Coconut Telegraph and just see the magnificent treatments he gives, these low-key performances, he's always been one of my favorite artists.
Yeah, well, I've never heard that from him. It was really enjoyable. The reason I called this morning was on the Texas Advanced Directives Act. It's an issue. I'm not a medical ethicist or a doctor, but I do political work on this issue, and that's why I called. Mm-hmm. The Texas Advanced Directives Act was passed in 1999, and it made some rules about advanced directives, but what it really did was it gave doctors in Texas hospitals the ability to essentially pull the plug in 10 days.
Yep.
And I don't know if you talked to somebody else about that today.
No, not yet. So let's lay a little bit of the groundwork. And here's what I remember is before 1999, a hospital could obtain a court injunction to withdraw treatment without giving the family any time to arrange a transfer. Now there's some hoops to jump through. The major criticisms of the act, as I recall, involve sort of the period of time allowed to transfer. Is it still, I think, a 10-day period for the patient's family to either find another facility to accept the patient or go for that court injunction to extend the time period? But it's the exact same arena that we're talking about here. Arguments over what ought to be done and whose judgment ought to prevail when life is at its ebb. So take the ball wherever you want to go.
Okay, so the first thing is, what are we shooting for? And you have hit on it several times from my listening this morning already. The doctors and the hospital staff clearly understand the biology and physiology better than most patients do.
Mm-hmm.
But the patient or their surrogate has the moral decision to make about this. So while they're great technical advisors to the situation, they are never in a position morally to take your life from you.
That's right.
And so the question is, does a patient in a Texas hospital get due process? Now, we've been working on this law for many times. I've been down to Austin testifying about this, but I'm a civil engineer, so I don't have the experience really to deal with this except philosophically.
Mm-hmm.
And what after listening to 50 or 60 people testify who were in wheelchairs, medical ethicists, priests, doctors, medical associations, et cetera, I didn't have anything to add. And honestly, what I did, I'd been working in the halls of Austin, the capital. That day, I'd been working on a project with my work in McKinney. and I've been dealing with their tree ordinance, trying to deal with a dying tree on a lot that we're going to build a house on. And I went through and explained it, and I know everybody was wondering why I'm talking about a tree ordinance.
Oh, I know where you're going. Keep at it.
Yeah, so I just said at the end of it, I think you need to just scratch McKinney Tree Ordinance off of the title and put SB 303, I think was the name of the bill back then that we were trying to get. And then a patient in a Texas hospital will have more due process rights than a tree in McKinney, Texas.
Bingo.
And so that was my testimony then, and it's funny because I hear about that now and then. It was 2 a.m. I'm surprised anybody even heard it. But interestingly, Senator Lois Kolkhorst was in the House chairing that committee, and she did the tree ordinance this last time, if you kept up with that. But she gave me a little spiel about tree ordinances, which was a little out of place for the meeting. Bottom line is that the moral authority rests with the patient. And it's all through Western philosophy, yeah, as it's described.
Yep.
And it's not that hard. If a doctor feels like they really are, you know, if somebody can't let go, everybody knows there's a time to die.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody just can't let go for whatever reason, maybe they just don't want to see their loved one die, or they don't want the checks to stop coming in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is complicated. A doctor, a hospital should be able to go to court, I guess, and deal with that. But right now, if I want to spare my life, I can be alert, awake, talking to the doctor, and he could make this determination. I have to, from a hospital bed, go and file a lawsuit in district court. And I think the burden ought to be on the doctor in that case.
Yeah, exactly right. Because a doctor isn't – what you phrased it in a perfect way, Rich, and thank you. I've often talked about the collision of rights. The entity A has the right to do this, this, and this. Entity B has the right to do this, this, and this. And sometimes everybody's doing what they have the right to do. So how does that all play out? A hospital has the right to reach a conclusion that says, look, we're done here. We're banging our heads against the wall. Ain't nothing going to change, and we're done here. Okay. But and Rhonda just sent a note to me that there are strong transfer provisions now. Attending physicians and hospitals reaching that view need to do some heavy lifting and find an alternate provider. If a physician judges the life-sustaining treatment to be, and I love this term, medically inappropriate, all right, that's a judgment call they get to make. But if there's somebody else out there in the hinterlands that says, well, guess what? We'll take them. You know, it's not anybody else's job to pay. And best before we even get to the notion of paying for it, but there's a responsibility to be of some assistance in finding some destination where they might be not quite as willing to wash their hands of the whole thing. Now, once you do plug in paying for it, what we're seeing in Britain with Alfie Evans is, you know who's paying for it? That would be British taxpayers. Welcome to government-run healthcare. Now, obviously, we don't have government-run healthcare. People tried. We certainly have heavy involvement of government in healthcare. And when that happens, of course there's rationing. Of course, it essentially becomes a much maligned term, a death panel. But when you get to the cost of all of these things, there are charity hospitals, there are people who are involved in, and this is where you get to the Italian perspective on this, and there are these Roman hospitals that are ready to care for baby Alfie, and we could sit here all day and say, well, to what end? Another month of life, another year of life, here's the thing with this little boy. They removed all the breathing machines from him and said, it's going to be minutes. He's still alive. Isn't it amazing how some of these things work out? And again, I'm not sitting here suggesting that he's going to be, out playing cricket, for his next birthday. But I don't know the answer to that. That is on God's time. And in whatever time God has planned for this little boy. None of us has a brain big enough to know exactly what the right thing to do is, but I know what the right thing to do is with regard to the parents, and that's let the parents do whatever they wish to do within the law. 9:50, Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer.
Someone, she has seen you changing, and it gets harder as you get older. Farther away as you get closer.
1977, the Crosby, Stills, and Nash album, creatively called CSN, had Shadow Captain and Just a Song Before I Go. Yeah, that was a big hit. And this great masterpiece, See the Changes. So we lift up prayers for Crystal Almeida and Rogerio Santander, the two DPD officers, and the Home Depot employee whose name we don't know, but we lift you up in prayer as well, sir, as from this shooting yesterday. So as we go through this other, this latest day that the Lord has made, we're so grateful for all of you. Thanks to producer Rhonda K. Moreland, at producer Rhonda K, R-O-N-D-A, capital K. Shane Bell with the Shane Bell Band, getting ready to mobilize with gigs and song releases that we'll keep track of right here. Shane Bell Band on Twitter and Facebook. And, of course, Gordon Griffin in the newsroom. Appreciate you every day. God bless our country, our troops, our families, and we back the blue. I'm Mark Davis. This is 6:60 a.m. The Answer. See you in the morning at 7. And we get older, and you get older,
farther away.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.